listening to Talking Architecture and Design, brought to you in association with the Architecture and Design Network. You can catch up with news, projects, interviews, and much more at architectureanddesign.com.au, where you can also subscribe to our newsletters and magazine.
And today we have with us two guests in a virtual studio. First guest is Joel Williamson, who our listeners will know is the National Sales Manager of GH Commercial, who has a deep understanding of the industry and takes great pride that his role at GH Commercial enables him to provide clients with creative solutions to problems and in turn foster great innovation in projects. Josh Haddock is the Managing Director of Dreamtime Flooring, a proud Yorta Yorta man raised in Morwell, Victoria, which is a very, very, very cold part of Victoria, on Kunai country. Excuse my pronunciation. Josh wanted to create a business that celebrated Indigenous culture through flooring while engaging with other Indigenous-owned businesses, helping to streamline income back into Indigenous communities. So, welcome to Talking Architecture and Design, Joel Williamson and Josh Haddock.
Thanks, Branko. It's great to be here.
Okay, and today we'll be talking about a number of things, but firstly, there is a partnership you guys have that's rather of interest and very unique and very interesting. So can you guys please go through this, explain the partnership, what are the main benefits, and how does it actually work?
You go ahead, Josh. I'll let you explain the partnership from your side, and we'll fill in from our side as well.
Yeah, no worries. So the partnership, if you will, is a strategic partnership based on trust, I guess, and significantly different to other partnerships, in that we still operate separately as individual companies, but come together with a mutual goal, and that is to celebrate and recognise Indigenous culture through flooring medium. And I guess it comes along with the strengths of being Australian made and manufactured locally in Geelong, with the strength of being a 100% Indigenous owned company. So you could say Godfrey Hirst are our sole manufacturer, and Dreamtime Flooring is the sole wholesaler of the product.
Yeah, so I think, Brad, we've seen a really interesting shift in the way business is being done. This is just globally and not unique to Australia or even Indigenous business, but we're definitely seeing a strong recognition that collaborations builds better businesses, better products. It makes a more unique thing. And we're seeing that not just in building materials, but we see that in the clothing we buy, the drinks we buy, you know, the brands we love. And when you see companies coming together and creating unique things, it generally is making a stronger business. And why is that? It's because it really does fill the gaps. We know we have strengths and weaknesses as a business. Dreamtime has strengths and weaknesses, but, you know, together we're stronger. For us, in terms of benefits, we've, you know, it's been amazing to work with Josh and the team at Dreamtime to learn. Josh has introduced us to, you know, so many people that have just, you know, their whole life is dedicated to, you know, basically creating a better community moving forward, both, you know, basically just in our culture in Australia. You know, listening and talking to one another is something that we don't do very well. And that's been something that's been amazing to be doing with Josh as our leader, really in that community saying, look, we want to have discussion. And then from our side, you know, we're helping to create, you know, paths to market and product development and things like that from the decades and years that we've put into learning how to do that ourselves. So it's been a really good, it's been a great partnership. So,
okay, well, that's actually really interesting. So Josh, so Dreamtime, I've gone to your website, I've picked a statement of rather interest. It says, Dreamtime's mission is to have as many buildings as possible for current and future generations to see Aboriginal ancestry and culture, with a particular focus on public buildings. Now, that's government, council, school, library, etc., and galleries. How do you plan to achieve this?
Look, the way we intend to do this is through a couple of different avenues. One is via our artwork being transformed into flooring, and another way of being able to do this is by having the stories involved with our flooring as part of an education, if you will, of our culture, and obviously being able to preserve our culture. The strategic side of it would be by partnering with GH, and obviously both of us using our network of very capable people to help promote and push our product out into the market. But I'd have to say, well, that is a very primary target that we're trying to achieve. Probably even more important than that, the main aim and focus is to create these culturally safe workplaces and schools and environments for not just Indigenous people but non-Indigenous people, promote our culture, and also streamline that income back into the Indigenous communities and help promote and achieve financial equality and job security, you know, within the marketplace, using and utilizing our skills that we have as Indigenous people.
Okay, that's interesting. So Joel, I'm going to quote you, so be afraid. This is you speaking recently. This partnership represents the evolution of a shift from mere business strategies to heartfelt responsibility. For me, it's a hope that this step forward ripples across the corporate world, awakening others to the richness of First Nations cultures and appropriate engagement. Okay, so in some ways, what you're really saying there is that you guys are breaking the mold when it comes to Indigenous owned businesses, and this is part of a mentorship model, isn't it?
Well, it's funny when you say that we're breaking the mold when it comes to Indigenous owned business. I hope that mold's not being, that's not a negative connotation in terms of breaking, because I think what we want to do is really firm it up. It's, you know, I'll tell the story. I've told it a few times, but we probably maybe 3 or 4 years ago, when we were starting to work with Josh in the early days, we were actually given an award by Kinaway in Victoria for a collaboration that we did with both Dreamtime and Binham. And it was fantastic. We were really excited about it. And nearly immediately we started talking about how can we get a product to market from this collaboration that was, you know, a unique bespoke project that was done. But we wanted to do a running line product, get it to market as quickly as possible. And we were excited about it. And remember having a meeting with Kinaway and Josh at Dreamtime, and we were absolutely floored when the guys at Kinaway sort of said, why are you doing this? Look, if you continue down this track, we'll take the award off you. You're just going to compete with companies like Dreamtime and others, because they'll never be able to grow. They'll never be able to, you know, create the impact on the community that they should be creating if large companies like ours just basically continue to pretty much take the opportunities away. So it really forced us to rethink how we're going to do business and how do we get products to market in a way that not only benefits us, but benefits companies like Dreamtime. And it's created a very unique approach to it. We don't have any ownership over Dreamtime. We don't have any ownership over the artwork. We basically work with Dreamtime and the artists, and we want everybody to benefit from the sale of the products. We want people to be really excited about when they see the products. I mean, the products are really fun. And so it should be basically an experiential thing from the customer that's actually walking to a building, but also it should be impacting that the local economy and the economy, and it should be benefiting companies like Dreamtime. Our goal is to see Dreamtime growing and prospering and being, you know, a real force when it comes to flooring products in Australia. It's something we're really excited to see, and it's not because we want to own it, it's or anything like that. And I think, and Josh can probably speak better to this in some ways because he sees it from a different perspective. But definitely we're seeing the same thing happening over and over again, that these large companies are basically coming in and acquiring artists' IP or working to acquire parts of companies. And somehow that has to be broken so that the community can grow, and that there's not a control over that. And there's, I guess, an organic nature to this, as opposed to really trying to force something to happen. So hopefully that answers that question a little bit. It's definitely more of a passion thing. And one thing before Josh jumps in, I think, you know, almost monthly we have conversations about the fact that, you know, we're doing this because we choose to work with each other. We like working with each other, and we want to, you know, we're inspired by one another. Very much a relationship like you would have with any friend or even say a partner or something like that. There are opportunities to walk away, and sometimes we do get frustrated with one another as well. That's normal. And I think we should embrace all of that, the good and the bad. And it's and like I said, hopefully it's inspiring for other businesses out there that are thinking about how do we actually do this and how do we do this right. And it starts with listening. That's really what Josh, as I said earlier, that's what Josh has helped us to do, is to find the right people to listen to, which has been fantastic. Josh, I'm sure you want to jump in on that too a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the overarching message that I would send here is really about GH as a company coming forward with the understanding of the importance of buying Indigenous products through Indigenous people, because ultimately it's our story to tell. It's our history to share, and it's and these are our pathways forward. And yet the traditional business model makes sense in a lot of ways, and I understand as a business owner why these things happen. But I think a lot of the time, none of this is done through malice, and I firmly believe GH originally thought they were on the right track. Now I do a lot of help as part of our partnership with, I guess, mentoring GH on our cultural sensitivities and what's important to us as Indigenous people, and how to interpret the message that we're trying to send. And there was a real awakening point with GH where they started to get the message, accept the message, and understand why it's so important to us and why it is so much more of an acceptable journey to go down if you allow us to have our own story and our own movement to make.
Exactly, Josh. I think that's been our that's been the secret, has been listening, has been learning. And just to, I guess, firm things up for customers, the products, the Dreamtime flooring products that we make, we are the manufacturing partner here, firmly. We do have a network, as people know. They know many of our team out there in the market. And we have a large network of sales people. We have a large admin team. We have a distribution network and all that sort of thing. But for Dreamtime products, they go through Dreamtime Flooring. That's where they're purchased. Dreamtime Flooring is our exclusive distributor. Yes, we support with our production capabilities. We support with our logistics capabilities, of course, but it's really important that the products are going through Dreamtime Flooring, because as Josh said, we do firmly believe that Indigenous products are best to be bought through Indigenous companies that know the stories and own the heritage that goes with it, as opposed to us taking to market, even though it's very tempting, because we probably have the larger distribution model there. And this does definitely sometimes feel like the, I guess, the less trodden road, I should say, to go down. But we think it's really important to make it a really well-trodden road over the coming years, and push it in that direction. So sorry to, yeah, hopefully that answers that question, Branko, but I'm, yeah, like I said, we're really passionate about it. And I'm sure that this will probably open up more questions from people in the future as well.
Yeah, you're right, and it's exactly what I meant. You're the partnership mold, if you like, or model, whatever the term you want to use, is different. I mean, there are a number of companies, a lot of companies out there who are, you know, partner with Indigenous-owned businesses, but you know, we've had a few on over the years, you know, featured in our magazine and even on podcasts a lot years ago. But this the way you're doing it is somewhat different, and obviously it seemed to work for both of you. But this whole idea, though, influences sustainability, doesn't it? And you know, it's part of the 17 UN SDGs. But can I put it out to both of you? What would this look like if every company had a similar program?
What this would look like is a term I like to use called generational change, and it would break the foundation and the barriers that Indigenous people have been facing within the cycle of one generation. It would bring Indigenous people up to an equal level and measure within the marketplace. And the strengths that it brings through honest, meaningful engagement, which is what GH are doing here with us, is while they're learning from us, we are learning from them. I just want to clarify that they're showing us the tricks of the trade. So they're not just manufacturing with us or for us, I should say. They're partnering with us. They're showing us the tricks of the trade. They're helping to upskill us as a company and helping to help us understand how we can do things better. Now, the traditional model, when you go out and you take over ownership of our Indigenous artwork and, you know, and then that's pushed back out through a network, and normally this is done with all good intention. It doesn't do anything to help to build our community, to upskill us and to prepare us better to be able to tackle the corporate world in the way that I guess companies like GH have been able to do since the 1800s. And it's our, you know, in all fairness, it's time that we get our turn at that. And what would it do? What difference does it make? It changes the lives of Indigenous people all over the country.
Yeah, I think, and how does it do that? I mean, one of the things would be that, you know, as an industry in carpet manufacturing, let's be honest, tufted carpet manufacturing is heavily influenced by, you know, American or US and English heritage, right? That's where a lot of the inventions came from both Europe and the US, for being able to make carpet. So the skill set comes from those areas. So when you say, you know, we all have, you know, reconciliation action plans, and you know, we fill out tenders for government projects and large projects where we're looking at how many Indigenous employees do you have in your company? Well, it's very hard to hire people that don't have a skill set because there's not many people around that are coming from, say, Aboriginal heritage here in Australia, because the technology and the heritage of carpet making didn't originate here. There's definitely parts of the elements that could be brought in, but how do we see things in the future? Well, definitely one of the things would be if we can build more local expertise, then companies actually have a chance of actually including people within their ranks that are highly skilled and have great ideas and that sort of thing. These are the, I guess this is the future. I think if we could see other companies out there collaborating, like I said, we would get the best of both worlds. There's just too many times where, we hear the horror stories of, companies having the best of intentions and going out and doing something, building something or putting a product to market only to be really, torn down because it wasn't done right. There was no listening involved. There's a lot of projects out there that, people have come across that too late and realized that, hey, we've simply used the wrong artwork here. It has nothing to do with the local story and the way things are done locally. It might be the wrong colors. Like these are all things that, really simple things, but unless we're listening to one another and building each other up, like we're going to miss these things. We're never going to get home runs. It's just going to be foul balls all the time. And that's something I'm certain of. And as I said at the beginning, we see that collaboration is key. The world we live in and the technology we have allows us to collaborate so much better than it used to. We all used to be kind of stuck in our offices, but now we can collaborate with people across the world. And it's great, but we should be collaborating with the people in our own neighborhood, right? This is community. And, every neighborhood we know, we all live in a house somewhere. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you do. And we have a really, we have a diverse neighborhood that we live in. I mean, you can think about the neighbors that you have, and who they are and what they do. And that creates a unique community. And that should be happening in the business world as well. Or else we start to get into a really weird place where things start to happen that probably aren't great in long-term, I guess. In terms of long-term prognosis for our local economy, part of these things we start to see, Australia does definitely struggle with the fact that we have dominant companies in our market that do things like dominant companies do, and there's not enough, I guess, awareness of that. So, for us, this is an important thing, and as I said, I think that we'll start to see if we could see if your question is like, what would happen or what would it look like if every company had a program like this? I think you'd start to see companies operating differently because they would be more community minded and be local viewpoints that are being serviced in terms of the decision making. And that I hope would make a fantastic economy, a really strong economy, and it would be so diverse. And I think it would be very strong. I think Australia would have probably one of the best, the best, I guess, examples of how to do that, because it's not just a uniquely Australian issue, this thing of how to work with all the cultural heritage that we have in previous generations that have come before us.
I think if I can just interject slightly, Joel, to simplify things, I guess, because Joel and I go into depth very far. My simple answer to that question would be, what does it look like for the future? Genuine reconciliation through mutual understanding and common goals that can be achieved together. And it would help to close the gap. We hear about bridging the gap all the time. It starts to close the gap because we're on the same page.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We are indebted to GH Commercial, whose sponsorship of the 2023 Commercial Design Series makes all this possible. As the oceanic subsidiary of Mohawk Industries, the world's largest flooring company, GH Commercial belongs to a global network of leading products, brands, and world-class manufacturing. Our portfolio includes carpet tiles, residential and commercial broad loom made with wool and synthetic fibers, woven carpet, designer jet carpet, engineered timber, hybrid laminate, vinyl plank, as well as a range of custom flooring solutions. Drawing on over 150 years of local manufacturing experience through Godfrey Hirst's operations, we proudly operate 4 carpet manufacturing facilities, 3 yarn processing facilities, 10 distribution centres, and 14 sales offices across Australia and New Zealand. And we know that our future depends on the work we do today. Our commitment to our planet extends beyond just products and processes. It's how we challenge ourselves every day, and it guides our future decisions. Our approach to sustainable business is all about making the world better. We capture this in 3 powerful pillars of people, performance, and planet in everything that we do. We are proudly a climate active, carbon neutral organization. And now it's back to the show.
Do you think we're entering an era where Indigenous designs, Indigenous design products, or products with Indigenous designs will be as commonplace in Australia and perhaps the world? Like, let's say, tartan in Scotland, like it'd be in every home and office. Do you think we're entering sort of an era where the recognition and the appreciation of Indigenous designs is reaching new levels?
I can jump in there. Yes, I certainly believe that is where we're coming. And we talk about Indigenous, but it's important to remember everyone's Indigenous from somewhere. Now, one thing and major advantage of that is if you look at any other nation, there's a real connection to history and the culture of a lot of First Nations people around the world. We have barely touched the iceberg on that. And to give you an example, if you look at New Zealand, you go into New Zealand and they have done an incredible job of making sure that when you get off that plane, you know who the Indigenous people are from that area. And they've actually been able to capitalize on it very, very well as well, because they now have a roaring trade based on the Indigenous people of that area and recognition. And I see this now as something that is starting to spread like wildfire, and a lot of that is to do with specific targets, which has been fantastic to see them pop up. I'm probably rambling a little bit, but I see it as something that's growing. They say, you know, a rolling stone gathers no moss, and it's important because before we lose all of our Aboriginal culture from Australia, we need to get those stories out. It's important to always remember Indigenous people didn't have a written language. So we don't have the archives that other Indigenous people from other areas do. Our stories are in our artwork. And so every time a piece of artwork is presented, or every time a Indigenous artwork inspired product is presented, it brings the stories back to life and it continues the conversation of the stories, which is how Indigenous people, Aboriginal Australians, this is how we share our culture.
Okay.
Yeah, the culture is important, Branko. I think, we had that, talk about tartan. I mean, we all like, there's people that like the look of it, but tartan has meaning, right? It connects to clans and family, and it goes back a long way. There's, it's not just a haphazard collection of, lines and colors, is it? Like, and I think that's something that is changing now. There's definitely a trend for Aboriginal design in Australia. It's great to see it happening in buildings. I love it. The colors are fantastic. I think we're seeing a huge upswing in interest in it. But and the other thing I'd say is that we're also seeing an appreciation for our Aboriginal artists that that are creating new and unique pieces that are not just culturally relevant, but actually fit, modern buildings and things. The artists are amazing at doing this translation of sort of move, they're sort of having one foot in the cultural heritage camp or side, and also one foot in the sort of modern artistic interpretation of it. And so it's amazing to see some of this stuff come out. But from our point of view, I think it's all, as Josh said, it's story, right? It's telling stories, it's understanding the cultural relevance, and that's probably the most important thing. And I keep coming back to this thing, is we need to listen. We definitely need to listen to these stories, and we need to listen to why, why these designs are what they are. Or else it's really, really risky, because we'll end up using them in a way that we shouldn't be using them. And that's, I'm going to be the one to say that, because we're the ones that are most likely to do it, as say the company, the quote unquote white company, that's interested in making cool looking products, because it's more than just cool looking products out there. But I think our culture and our buildings, and over the next 5 years or so, many of the designers and architects that are listening to this podcast are probably working on a project right now that they're really keen on incorporating Aboriginal elements into the design, which is so cool. So over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see buildings that are just going to be so much better looking than what we've seen before because of that. But story needs to be, it needs to be delivered as well.
How does Drink, First Nations artists, to create these designs? What are some of the these, what are some of your later and dare I say most popular designs? And what industries are you selling to? Are there particular industries that are prominent, or is it a host of industries?
Great question again, Blanco. I think we see a lot of interest in this area through government buildings or buildings that have a link back to the government. Again, that's partly to do with targets that are set. However, I believe, however it happens, it happens, and so it's fantastic. Our late we have we do have a new range that's about to come out with GH that we launch on May the 2nd. That's our Here Before collection, which has incredible meaning, incredible story, and has been developed in a way that it can be used effectively in any space across Australia, which I think is very important. We really put a lot of thought into making sure that we could share the stories without crossing cultural background, sorry, cultural lines, if you will. That, there's some fantastic ranges in that. But really, the way we engage with our artists, I think, that is unique to any other company with Dreamtime is, yes, there is an initial, there's obviously an initial a payment that comes from contributing to helping us develop these ranges. But it's that ongoing commission base where no matter how much we sell, we are constantly putting back that percentage into the artists every time we sell a meter of flooring, money is transferred back over to the artist. And the importance of that means that nobody owns their artwork. They own their artwork. They've done the hard yards. They've put the work in to develop these ranges with us, and they're recognized and they're also rewarded for the work that they've done repeatedly. You know, and that's a standalone difference, because I think every other business model out there at the moment engaging with Indigenous artists is forgetting that it's their story. It's not ours. We don't own the artwork. We don't have ownership of the artwork. And I would encourage all Indigenous artists to make sure that their artwork is protected for themselves. We are borrowing the artwork. We are liaising with people, and we, I guess, in one way, we act as a agent to help distribute that artwork. But the most important part is they keep the ownership and the rights to their artwork.
What are some of the, can I ask, what are some of the environmentally sustainable facets of the flooring produced for Dreamtime?
Yeah, so as I said before, we're the, I guess, manufacturing partner in this relationship. And as you know, and many of the listeners would know, that we've worked very hard over the years to continue on our journey. So back to that believe in better journey, that, you know, we're always getting one step better as we move forward in terms of sustainability with product. So the same features and benefits from a sustainability point of view are available in the Dreamtime flooring product. So being that, you know, declare red list free. So all the products are declared red list free. They all are eligible for our Loop and 3R programs when it comes to product stewardship. And, you know, we have, you know, basically every single element of our sustainability journey that you could get in any GH product is available in Dreamtime flooring products. So we're excited about that. The other thing that's becoming more and more important now, though, is how the products or how companies are working with their local community. And so on top of all the programs and things that we have with, you know, sustainability with the products, we also are basically putting some money away from the sale of every square meter. There's a dollar from each side, so a dollar from Dreamtime and a dollar from GH Commercial that's being collected per square meter, that then gets donated yearly to community needs in the Aboriginal community. That will change. Last year, we supported a really cool program called On Country Pathways, which is all about bringing young people, giving young people career opportunities, especially in the construction industry, and doing some really grassroots things like, you know, helping young people get driver's licenses. So imagine if you live in a remote community, you are going to struggle to get to work if you can't drive something. There's not bus routes and trains in some of these communities. So Josh can probably speak to this more with some of the connections that he has with Jeb, who runs On Country Pathways. But, you know, it's just amazing to think that, you know, some of these guys just get in a car and drive to work because that's what they need to do. And then they get pulled over because they don't have a license. So, you know, something simple like helping people get driver's licenses can be, you know, life-changing, and once again, is something that's going to build a better future. So, you know, these are kind of the examples of the sustainability of the product, but it's not just about a sustainable product itself. When it comes to, you know, all the metrics of, you know, carbon footprint and recycled content and all those things, yes, we're working to make those better every day, but the product is also contributing to the local community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Joel. And to speak a little further on that, I'll touch on a couple of subjects here. One is the driving program that you were discussing before, and what a fantastic idea it is, because it's not a licensing program. What this is a program that is based around the question, why aren't you employed? Why aren't you employed? Well, I don't have a license. Well, why don't you have a license? Mum and dad don't have a license. I can't get my hours. I've got my learners. I can't get my hours. Now, especially in remote areas, that's such an important thing. And so what does On Country Pathway do? They find dedicated volunteers and workers through On Country Pathways. And to put it bluntly, they're a bum in a seat. So they sit in the seat with their Working with Children's check, and they allow that child to then go through the process of getting those hours up, which is then upskilling them. And the impact that makes on any young child when they get their license is enormous. The impact it makes on someone who thought they wouldn't be able to get their license is huge. So yeah, I'm a big, big fan of that particular program through On Country Pathways, although they do deliver a number of other programs through apprenticeships, cadetships, traineeships, and other employment pathway message through the construction industry and other industries as well. Now, to touch on, the donation that we've put in place, I think that's really important as well, because we all know that that there's procurement targets out there. Now, when we developed Dreamtime Flooring, we knew as a company that was going to be a reason that we were going to be engaged, and that's okay. You know, a lot of people are afraid of the word procurement, but it's okay, because at any time you can jump on our website. You can look under our social benefit page, I believe it is, and you can see where we put our money, and that, you know, and you can see the money that you're spending with us and how that is helping our community. And, you know, that's updated regularly. I think it's either fortnightly or monthly. We do a update on that. So for me, it's about transparency. And the second part of it is, a lot of people don't understand, and they go, why are these procurement policies in place? Well, through our website, you can start to visualize it and see it for yourself.
In terms of overall, both in terms of, you know, it doesn't have to be in terms of just economics or market share, whatever you want to call it. In terms of, you know, basically how you feel about it, how in your opinions, how does this program mean to both GH Commercial and also to Dreamtime? I mean, what is it, you know, how does it affect you, and how does it, what does it actually mean to both of you?
I'll say two things. I'll speak for GH Commercial and say for us, it's huge, because yes, we have a reconciliation action plan. Yes, we have other things in place from, you know, HR policies and all those sort of things that you have to do as a big company. And most people listening to this would probably understand that there's a lot of, you must do this, you must tick this box. At some point, the rubber needs to meet the road somewhere, right? And you need to start doing things, right? If you truly believe in it, you will start doing things that basically follow your beliefs, right? And this is something that from our point of view, from a GH Commercial perspective, working with Dreamtime is not just helping us develop better products and learn and create, you know, a better solution for our customers to have options to buy and options to use things, but it's also transforming us internally, because, you know, we're actually really moving forward on things that we truly believe as a company. Personally, for myself, I'd like to speak to that. I haven't spoken to this many people, but, you know, personally, I grew up with parents that, you know, my mom and my dad both believed very strongly in reconciliation. I grew up in the US. There are huge issues there, as people know, in terms of, reconciliation issues. And so, you know, personally, I've been raised in a way to hopefully facilitate some of this. But personally, this means a huge amount to me. This is legacy and things that, like I said, from a company perspective and a personal perspective, I hope will leave a mark on the world that's positive. And that's the way we see it. I'd love to see what What do you think it means, Josh? Over to you.
Look, what does it mean to me? For me personally, it means that exactly what Joel said. I go out with a legacy, knowing that I've helped someone. But more importantly than that, I go out with a legacy knowing that I help someone that will potentially never meet me. They will never know who I am. And that's the most beautiful thing, because I think where a lot of people go wrong is in the recognition of the help that they give. I was always brought up under the principle that if you give someone something or if you help someone, that should be something that you do based on your own moral ethics. You shouldn't need the accolades, so to speak, for it. It should be something that you do out of the goodness of your heart. And so this is a real passion project. Now, to give you an idea, I have another company and I won't speak to that too much, except for to say that I've done very well out of the other company. Dreamtime flooring is something I've been working on for the last 5 years. And it's been self-funded, I guess, up until we combined with GH, and then it's been self-funded by both GH and myself. This is my opportunity. This is my opportunity, and this is my way to ensure a future for my people. And it's also my way of thanking my people and my ancestors for giving me the knowledge and the strength to be able to be where I am today and to be able to be who I am today. So what does it mean to me? After 5 years of a passion project, it means everything to me. It's everything I've put all of my heart and my work into to ensure that there will be a sustainable future that helps support and guide my family and my people, and that respects and follows the traditions of my cultural ancestors.
That was fantastic. Thank you, Joel Williamson, National Sales Manager of GH Commercial, and Josh Haddock, Managing Director of Dreamtime Flooring, for your views, your ideas, your passions, and your thoughts. It really was an inspirational delve into what can be done when great minds and good hearts get together.
Thanks, Branko. It's been amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's very kind of you to say.
Been listening to Talking Architecture and Design. Until next time, goodbye.
Thanks for listening to Talking Architecture and Design, brought to you in association with the Architecture and Design Network. You can catch up with news, projects, interviews, and much more at architectureanddesign.com.au, where you can also subscribe to our newsletters and magazine.